I would now like to introduce our next speaker, Nikolai Haddad. Nick is the secretary of the Arab Theatre Studio and a lawyer. Please welcome Nick.
I would like to begin by acknowledging that we are on stolen Gadigal land and express my absolute solidarity with the struggle for sovereignty, justice and land back on this continent. There's no doubt that this has been a week of horror and pain, just like every other week we have endured for the past 50 weeks and the past 75 years. More than 120 Palestinians have been killed in the last 72 hours alone. Israel has openly carried out the remote control murder of people in Lebanon, killing more than 70 civilians and non-combatants. We have watched as Israel has continued with impunity its campaign to eliminate all life in Gaza. We have seen the names of those directly killed in Israel's genocide. The first 14 pages of the list were the names of babies less than a year old. 11,000 children, 1,000 health workers, and the real number is of course much, much higher because this does not count for the indirect deaths of civilians caused by things like starvation, disease, and the destruction of basic medical care. It's a crime of untold proportions, back to the hilt by Western imperialism that continues to supply Israel with the bombs, munitions and fighter jets it uses to carry out these crimes. I stand here today as a Lebanese from Maronite Christian heritage, and there are many more here in this crowd like me. Lebanon's solidarity with Palestine is unshakable, because it is born out of shared struggle and deep humanity. The Lebanese people are more united than ever before, and we will not be bowed. But I'm here to talk about some of the things that are going on in this country called Australia, because we truly live in an upside-down world here. The mainstream media and establishment political class in this colony regard our lives as expendable. Israel bombs and murders our civilians at will, uses starvation as a weapon of war. Israeli soldiers openly use Palestinians as human shields, tying them to bulldozers and tanks. They desecrate the bodies of dead Palestinians and throw them off rooftops. But Israel's supporters in this country get tens of millions of dollars from the Australian government, motions of support in Parliament, and a taxpayer-funded office to spread their anti-Palestinian hate. By contrast, it's an actual crime, a crime to support Hamas and Hezbollah, even though, as well as having armed wings, they are part of the government in Lebanon and Gaza and provide health and other social services to a civilian population. The Australian Senate has been very busy this week conducting an inquiry into anti-Semitism at Australian universities. This at a time when the Scholasticide in Gaza has destroyed every single university and 85% of schools. Palestinian kids have not been able to go to school for a year. 10,700 students have been killed and 524 teachers. Where is the Senate inquiry into Australia's support for this horror? Where is the Senate inquiry into Palestinian safety against those who openly support this genocide without fear of repercussion? I've read some of the submissions into this inquiry, and it is clear beyond doubt that this is all about silencing criticism of Israel. Some of the examples of anti-Semitism include the word intifada and a sticker that says boycott Israel. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry said that a forum on international law made Jewish students feel unsafe because it failed to have a pro-Israel speaker. Imagine if this were a student complaining that a forum on the application of international humanitarian law to the war in Ukraine made them feel unsafe because it failed to include a speaker given the Russian government's point of view. This is not about safety. This is about protecting Zionists from feeling uncomfortable when their support for genocide is exposed by the brave students showing compassion and humanity. Israel's supporters are trying to make Zionism a protected category in discrimination law, like age, sex, disability, sexuality, or race. In New York University, the new student policy has declared Zionism as a protected category on the same level as being black in America. But the most unbelievable thing about this inquiry is that universities have in fact taken a strong anti-Palestinian and pro-Israel stance from the very beginning. They have banned forums in support of Palestine, and they have cracked down on protest. They have allowed Zionists to weaponize the internal complaint systems to target academics for speech critical of Israel. University lecturers have been hauled into disciplinary meetings and had their jobs threatened for speaking truth to power. The mainstream media have published false and nasty hit pieces against women of color who have dared to expose Israel's propaganda and racist ideology. And it's not just universities. In school, small children have been taken to task for drawing the Palestinian flag. School teachers have been disciplined for the crime of wearing the keffiyeh. In the arts, acclaimed pianist Jason Gillam was cancelled by Melbourne Symphony Orchestra because he made the mildest statement in support of the over 170 Palestinian journalists killed by Israel. Palestinian performers have lost contracts just for being Palestinians, and Arab arts organizations have faced censorship and loss of funds because they refuse to depoliticize their work in the service of power. Antoinette Latouf is still fighting for justice in a court system stacked against her, when it should be abundantly clear that the only reason the ABC dismissed her was because she was an Arab woman who dared to express a political opinion that the Zionists did not like. We have seen the Zionist Federation of Australia file a complaint against journalist Mary Costakidis in the Australian Human Rights Commission. They claimed that she breached the Racial Discrimination Act by her criticism of Israel. Let me say something about anti-discrimination laws. They were enacted off the back of social movements demanding human rights for the marginalized and oppressed. These laws have their origin in the global struggle against colonialism, apartheid, and for civil rights. To see these laws being weaponized in the service of power should shame us all. The establishment, media, and political class in this country are deeply anti-Arab, pro-imperialism, and pro-Israel. It is no surprise that the so-called free speech warriors in the Murdoch media are falling over themselves in a racist pylon to support one of the most dangerous state-sponsored attacks on intellectual freedom and political expression in decades. You see, they are willing participants in silencing pro-Palestinian voices because they're scared. Palestine has exposed the lie of Western liberalism and democracy. Palestine has exposed the political economy of Western imperialism, and people are drawing links between the military-industrial complex, the petrodollar, and the system of unequal exchange that leads to war and famine all over the world. As we continue our solidarity work in this deeply hostile environment, we can expect more harsh repression from governments and institutions in Australia. And I'll say one thing from a legal perspective. I understand that some people may have a fear of speaking out because of the risk to their livelihood. They have families to support. But there are things you can do to protect yourself. Be smart. Get legal advice about your rights. Join your union. Every little bit of activism is a crack in a system that maintains the apartheid settler colonial state. But that's the point. That's the point of this repression and lawfare. It is designed to scare us into silence, but it won't work. More and more people are speaking out 50 weeks into this genocide, and those who care to look cannot help but see. Palestinian mothers and fathers picking up the eviscerated remains of their children in plastic bags, bodies blown apart, children buried in rubble, hung, decapitated and dismembered. We've seen so many people, elders, men, women, children, babies, fetuses, sacrificed at the altar of Zionist settler colonialism and Western imperialism. Only a soulless racist can see these crimes and not be changed forever. Enough is enough. Your lies can't hide this genocide. You cannot bully us into silence. You cannot bully us into silence because we have lost all fear. We will keep speaking out. We will keep fighting. We will never give up until Palestine is free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
2 hours ago, I watched in horror a scene that looked like it was straight out of an episode of Black Mirror, in which the Israeli military raided the Ramallah office of the Al Jazeera network in the occupied West Bank. Israeli occupation forces, whose presence in the West Bank to begin with is a war crime according to international law. According to international law that the federal government of Australia is a signatory to. They handed to the Ramallah Al Jazeera office, Waleed Al Umari, a military order to shut down the network without giving a single valid justification. The first time this has happened since the network's inception in 1996. And in true military colonial fashion, Al Jazeera staff, civilians living under a military occupation without civilian rights, had no chance at all of fighting this fascist and unjustified military decision. Let me give a bit of context. Al Jazeera is one of the world's leading news outlets and broadcasts in over 150 countries and has over 70 offices worldwide and a viewer base comprised of more than 450 million people. Al Jazeera is a news network that has consistently been the recipient of more than 100 prestigious global journalism awards. Al Jazeera has been hailed as one of the most powerful and one of the most effective global news outlets, largely due to its journalistic integrity and its outstanding global coverage in some of the toughest and most dangerous war zones. Al Jazeera, up until this morning, was the ears and eyes of the world inside the illegally occupied West Bank. While this action is horrifying and frustrating, it comes as no surprise. This is the actions of the same illegal and colonial state which locks up its own citizens for displaying the slightest bit of sympathy for the people of Gaza. This is the actions of an illegal and colonial state which locks up its own citizens for liking a Facebook post that shows sympathy for women and children butchered in Gaza. And more importantly, this is the action of a frustrated colonial regime on the verge of political destruction, a regime that is losing the war that it has been waging against the people it occupies for decades. Despite all the horror in the news, despite the death, despite the destruction, despite the suffering that the Palestinian people have endured for decades, there is still a silver lining to this dark cloud. We all know that the only thing that the Israeli military has been successful at for the last year is the slaughter of innocent civilians, and that they have achieved zero of the military objectives they set out to achieve. And speaking of silver linings, this week the silver lining was articulated by none other than Israeli officials themselves, who earlier this week went on the record officially to state that the military of Israel is losing the war and the military confrontation in Gaza.